got nothing today.
Nothing?
Almost, yeah. It's been a very busy week for me. You're listening to Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. I got half a mind to just play the theme music again and say goodnight, everybody! But nah, we have an hour of show. We have an hour of fun news.
Let's fill it up.
Yeah, we've got some really strange news. Last week, we talked about Satanists and stuff like that, and their desire to have something on some capital steps, or I don't remember.
I believe it's to cloak the world in darkness.
Well, that too. So we do have this is also an update about the Ten Commandments monument. I think this is in Florida. The ACLU filed suit to have the monument removed, while local Satanists petitioned to put up their own monument adjacent to the first. Now a Hindu group would also like to place a monument to their faith on Capitol grounds. According to Rajan Zed, president of the Universal Society of Hinduism, "We would love to have a statue of Lord Hanuman, who is greatly revered and worshipped and known for incredible strength and was a perfect grammarian."
That's a virtue.
Yeah.
Grammarian. So yeah. He's not a lot of spelling your as you are.
Right. He doesn't misspell on his signs, his protest signs.
The Hindu group went on to describe their ideal statue as big and weatherproof.
I like that description. That is fantastic.
So not made out of cardboard.
Yeah.
So I imagine like a big like container ship with some sort of Hindu god on it. I don't know. I just like the idea of this sitting outside a Capitol building.
Well, now, I want like a big cardboard statue that is completely not weatherproof, or maybe a statue composed entirely of sugar cubes so that it just slowly melts and speaks to the impermanence of deity. See what I did?
Yeah, it turns out it's a jack-o'-lantern.
It's a pasta statue. It doesn't last very long in the rain.
Oh, no, it's the Oklahoma State Capitol, not Florida. Thank you. According to friendly atheist blogger Hemet Mehta, if the commission votes yes on the proposal, conservatives will flip out. If they vote no, they're just inviting a lawsuit. This is beautiful. It's beautiful, and it's what I've been asking for years now.
I don't know if you saw this, but Brian Fisher of the American Family Association.
Who's that guy.
Well, he's basically the number two guy in the country for saying really terrible things into a microphone Bill Donahue of the Catholic League, where it's bad enough to wonder if it's all just a giant Andy Kaufman joke. But he actually tried to redefine the idea of what religious freedom is based on this case and said that the founders, by religious freedom, meant just Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
And that we can make all this stuff illegal if we want to. And no, that's not how that works. It's not just like, oh, we have both kinds of religion. We have Presbyterian and Catholic.
I've heard that. Excuse me. I've heard that argument so many times when I've been talking to, particularly one of my mentors over the years.
Mm.
And his argument was, "Oh yes, of course we have freedom of religion. You can be any kind of Christian you want."
Right. Yeah. So the whole Model T joke,
except the non-Christian.
But we're getting to the point where, I really hate the idea of the free speech zones, like it's the only place you're allowed to speak your mind or stuff like that. But I think that should be extended to monuments. We should have like a free monument zone. Let's like take a chunk of a federal park or something and go put everybody can put a monument here, whatever, and then we'll have that big, moist, pointy graveyard thing that we've been talking about.
So basically like the Dothraki capital.
Yeah.
Where basically all of the civilizations that they've conquered, they just take their statues and just lump them all there and go, "Hey, look at all the people we killed."
Yeah, the Dothraki capital or something from a Vin Diesel science fiction movie. I mean, it could go either way.
Isn't that sort of like the architectural premise behind the neighborhood of Fremont in Seattle?
Perhaps, yeah.
They do have a Lenin statue there. And a troll.
Yeah, a troll and a Lenin statue.
They got it all.
And gum and, yeah. It's, yeah.
Though I think the Lenin statue makes the entire neighborhood a troll.
Hey-o! Yeah, I'm really looking forward to this. And you know what I'm really looking forward to? I might even do a whole show on it. Is when I'm waiting for the Satanists to unveil their monument.
Oh, I want it to be Anton LaVey in his giant Ming the Merciless cape.
Is it like a steam-powered pipe organ, and it just sits there going, doot, doot, play Yes, We Have No Bananas?
Yeah, if it plays Yes, We Have No Bananas, that would be the best thing ever.
But I was hoping.
If they want to have the ultimate effect, because I think that the Satanists are probably aiming for the same thing that we aim for on this.
Right, right.
Cloaking the world in darkness.
Right.
No, they want to be as intentionally provocative to basically go after the idea that Christian privileges led to public land having Christian monuments all over the country,
mm-hmm.
and basically saying, "See how it feels? See how it feels?"
Yeah.
Just by putting something there. So they want something provocative, and I'm thinking giant pentagram, goat head man with wings, like satyr legs. I'm thinking just go for the full on, because really, if we get down to what most Anton LaVey and Satanists are,
right,
they're just really just trolls that took theater classes.
Yeah, dinner theater atheists is how I've described them.
See, I was really hoping that the monument would be a bottomlit Aleister Crowley at the helm of a Zeppelin. Like, I think that's the ideal. Just
Okay. Let's see if he can fly. It's like, is that what we're going for?
Right, yeah.
I think in order for it to work, they're going to have to play it serious. They're at least going to have to, because they are religious. This is their religious. It's a religious organization. And if they just do something that looks like a D&D monster manual, they'll probably get kicked out. So they're going to have to play it straight. And what they're talking about is like is some sort of like museum thing where what Satanism is explained to you. I mean, if you look on Facebook or on YouTube, they've got videos of like people who are Satanists talk about why they're Satanists in much the same way that Mormons talk about why they're Mormon. And
so, billboard, I'm a Satanist.
Yeah, do that.
See, if I was a Satanist, and again, that means I'm partial troll.
Yeah, yeah.
I would do those I'm a Satanist billboards, and I'd put people's pictures on them without permission.
Like, Abraham Lincoln, I'm a Satanist.
Bill Cosby.
Bill Cosby.
And I'm a Satanist.
Wow, okay, you're looking for prison time, it sounds like.
Why
no, we converted him. That's how that works.
Post-mortem. After, yeah.
In a sacred rite with some kind of chalice and a goat skull.
Yeah. You know he's not dead.
Oh no, I know that. Okay. The Satanists don't wait.
Oh.
See, we're not patient enough to basically wait for you to be off in the ether somewhere. We're going to get you right now and say, "No, you're in, where are your dues."
You're kind of scaring me.
And these Satanists in question are the same group that held the pink mass over Michael Phelps's.
Oh, that's right.
Michael Phelps. Over Fred Phelps's mother's
they
grave
swimming
to post-mortem to post-mortem make the leader of the Westboro Baptist Church's mom gay.
Yeah.
I mean, that's fun trolling. That's good.
I've had conversations about that, the whole pink mass thing. A lot of people I talk to, you know, there's sort of two sides of it. And I think a lot of people feel two ways of it. One, it's just, that's not really nice. Don't do that. Two, I can't think of a more deserving person to have that happen to.
Because, yeah.
I mean, that is his that is the magic spell he hopes to cast when he does stuff like that. It's like, look, you're all going to be in hell. You're all going to be in hell. You're going to burn. You're going to torture. You'll be tortured forever. And I'm laughing at how eternally tortured you're going to be. I love the fact that you are going to exist in eternity for pain. So it's like,
because I'm a good person.
Okay, your mom's gay. She burns too. Congratulations.
Well,
I can see that.
Do we know that his mom was like him?
No.
Because we know his kids aren't.
But it's not about
them anyway.
It's not about his mom. It's about him.
Well, I know that, but I mean, I guess if they were doing it to his grave, it would be a lot easier for me to stomach it, and it would seem... It would be a better cover for the fact that it is essentially just childish trolling.
Yeah.
Which is another reason I don't really tend to like Satanists. They're basically pagans who took theater school and are kind of, you know, trollish.
Well, I think the punchline is they don't think it works either.
Because that's not the goal. The goal, again, is the trolling.
Yeah, exactly. So part of the reason I'm a little burned out and tired today is yesterday was the Humanists of Washington, Seattle Atheists... So annual solstice dinner at the University Unitarian Church up in Seattle, and it was the first event that that we did where I was at the helm of Humanists of Washington, and it was a really, really good success. I think it really worked this year. I didn't get to like relax a lot because I was running in the kitchen the entire time. How was it from your perspective?
I had a great time. It was nice to just sort of sit down and have sort of the holiday themed food that we normally get at religious or family gatherings.
Chili.
And sit around with a bunch of people that you can talk science and sci-fi and philosophy with without anybody getting ticked off.
That was something I was hearing, that it was really cool just to be in the room and people who don't normally just walk up to people and start talking. There's like there was this sort of comfort level where you knew everybody in the room. You could just have a conversation with about any weird thing, and more than likely they would go along with you. And then that sounded nice.
Yeah.
That was exactly the kind of thing I wanted to hear. And I had a lot of help, and I'd like to thank some people right now. I'd like to thank Carol, Sharon, John Mark, Roslyn, Amy, Kelly, Carrie, Robert, Caitlin, Eliza, Carolyn, Jerry, Erica, Bob, Bridget, Dan, Paul,
thanks,
Shane, Jen, Kayla, and Brian. You guys all really helped out. It was a big, I think it was a really big success. And I tell you what, the whole week I had this sort of pit of dread in my stomach because it's like, is this going to work? Is it going to go off? Is this going to be a success? And then I get there and I'm practically superfluous to the entire thing. Everybody gets there, they know exactly what they're going to do. And I'm like, do you need, and like, okay, do this. And like, well, yeah, I was already doing that. I'm like, fantastic. Okay. I'm just going to kick back and move plates around because that's what I signed up to do. And it worked out really well. So I'd like to thank everybody. So we have another story, and this is a weird one. It's a little bit Borat, I think. Yeah, so a Jew-burning Christmas carol in Bucharest. A folk singing group being broadcast on public television performed a Christmas carol ultimately glorifying the Holocaust and endorsing the burning of Jews. The carol features lyrics stating that Jews are only good in the chimney, only in the smoke. Foreign Minister Titus Corlatian strongly objected to the song, while the U.S. Embassy called it an unacceptable display of anti-Semitism.
I think that goes without saying.
Yeah. Really?
It sort of implies that there's an acceptable form.
Right.
Right.
Where exactly is the acceptable level of anti-Semitism for the U.S. Embassy?
You just sort of draw the line at Archie Bunker. That's as right, far yeah. as we're going to go.
Right.
Just enough to make you uncomfortable at Thanksgiving, but not enough to be considered a hate crime.
The Orthodox Church also condemned the choir's performance, stating that Christmas carols should not be used to spread hatred. The Romania's Broadcasting Council has imposed a fine equivalent to $15,400 U.S. on the network. This is one of those moments where you go, was anybody paying attention at all?
I'm at a complete loss on this one. I didn't even know that there were Christmas carols that involved the ideas of you know, burning people or stating that any ethnicity
that weren't
is
like,
only good in the smoke.
Only good in the smoke.
I'm actually kind of shocked that this is the first time I've heard of one. I know that there's got to be some really offensive Christmas carol out there somewhere.
Yeah.
But this is the first time actually hearing about it.
But Mike, this is the reason for the season, apparently.
Yeah, I guess. It's
axial tilt.
Yeah, axial. No. No, apparently it's burning people.
Oh,
yeah, geez, if I'd known that, I'd be much more anti-Christmas. Jeez.
Right?
Oh, what? I mean, really, I just want to ask a question. You're a TV exec. You have a television station, and you're sitting down, and it's like, okay, I want to get, like, a chorus together, something really touching for the holidays, you know, pretty voices singing to ring in the winter or to bring Christmas. I don't, you know, whatever. That's cool. And then so you get this chorus together, and they get together, and they go, let's do a resounding rendition of Throw the Jewel Down the Well.
I really don't.
People will love it.
I don't know what happened here.
Are you thinking?
Yeah, seriously. It's, I don't know where this went off the rails. Mel Gibson totally vouched for these people.
There's got to be more to the story about, I didn't realize it was going to be, you know. I didn't realize it was going to be Christmas with Uncle Adolf. I mean,
yeah,
what?
Right, yeah.
What the heck? Just beyond me.
This Christmas features carols such as Adolf the Fascist Reindeer.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I really don't know what there is to say about this.
The biggest problem is now all these Christmas carols that I heard as a kid, I'm sort of reinterpreting them. I'm like, wow, this takes on the Saint Nick going up the chimney takes on a really different context. And it's like, oh god, this is really creeping me out.
Oh man, I you know what? I don't like where that's going. That just puts a horrible,
yeah,
horrible visual.
Thanks for destroying Christmas for me, Bucharest.
Yeah, jeez. Way to go, Romania.
Oh boy.
Yeah, happy Holocaust, folks.
Oh, jeez.
Did you really?
Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. Speaking of holidays and things people hate, so I think we've all heard about the sign in Times Square that American Atheist put up.
Yes.
Okay, what does it say this time?
I remember something to the degree of you don't need the Christ in Christmas or something.
Okay,
to that
so it's
degree.
Not...
It's basically, and they have the crossed out Christ, you know, the first five, six, it's six letters, isn't it?
Six letters.
This goes to show my level of, see, I'm not the monkey god Hanuman, so I don't have the perfect grammar.
Yeah, you're not the perfect, and you're not weatherproof either, last
no.
time I checked.
No, I can get well soaked after living left in the rain in the park for long enough.
I guess the war on Christmas, I guess, really is a thing now, because people have wished for it so hard we're kind of giving it. I mean, honestly, it's like, okay, you want to have this game? It's for me. For us, it's just fun. So let's do
you
it.
You want a war on Christmas? War? I will give you a war on Christmas.
Okay, if there's a war on Christmas, how come I can't escape Christmas music every frigging place I go?
Well, I mean, given what you do, the Christmas music is kind of the thing.
I know. I work in retail, but yeah. if there's any assault coming in the war on Christmas, it's me being sick of Christmas music.
Yeah. Yeah, honestly, I'm really against burning media, like book burnings and things like that.
Or Jews.
Yeah.
Wow. Jews in the media?
Yeah, well, okay, no, stop now. No more. But however, I would like to shoot every copy of the Elvin and the Chipmunks Christmas Carol into the sun.
If you want scarier, listen to that at regular...
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Elvin and the Chipmunks...
How could you not hear...
How can you not like it?
How can I not like it? It's the soundtrack to every terrible Christmas I've ever had.
Okay,
it sounds like this is the beginning of a flashback sequence.
Yeah, it's going to get a Christmas story real quickly in my head here. No, it's every time, it without fail, when I had like a terrible Christmas as a kid, it was accompanied by Elvin and the Chipmunks Christmas Carol. So it's like this weird, it's like the Ludovico technique in Clockwork Orange. You know, my eyes were peeled open, people are dropping droppers in it, they're giving me crappy toys and make me listen to Elvin and the Chipmunks Christmas Carol.
Not Ludwig Vaughn!
Yeah, Ludwig Vaughn. And that's really what it was like. So I just, for me, I guess maybe a lot of people really like it, but for me, it's indicative of everything that is terrible and hokey and bittersweet about the holiday.
This is Sam sitting up on his little mountaintop thing, complaining about the villagers down below with his dog.
Yeah. The thing is, Elvin and the Chipmunks is not going to make my heart grow size. It's going to make me want to amp the city so I never have to hear music ever again. It's, you know, you got to play something else. Play Twisted Sister's Christmas Carol or something.
Do they have
one? Sure, yeah.
They did one a few years ago, and it's basically We're Not Gonna Take It combined with O Come All Ye Faithful. It's horrible. And on that note, this is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. Come back in a minute. We're gonna talk about the Pope and maybe be a little less weird about Christmas ideas.
Need a break from the theistic world?
Live in the Seattle area?
Like the Flying Spaghetti Monster?
Whether you're an ardent non-believer, steadfast agnostic, or marauding pastafarian, check out the award-winning nonprofit organization Seattle Atheists.
Socialize at the Third Thursday Meetup, attend lectures, come camping, donate blood.
Connect at seattleatheists.org.
Seattle Atheists, we believe in you.
Doyle's Public House is Tacoma's number one spot for the best selection of import brews and Irish whiskey.
Football matches and Red Sox games, knowledge night and no cover live music.
Doyle's is your spot.
Check us out at doylespublichouse.com or stop by for a proper libation and soda bread at 2nd and St. Helens Avenue in Tacoma.
Like us on Facebook for all the latest updates and specials.
Doyle's in Tacoma.
2nd and St. Helens Avenue in Tacoma. doylespublichouse.com.
I'm Mike Gillis.
And I'm Casey Doran.
And we host a podcast called Radio Versus the Martians. We invite a rotating panel of our friends over to talk about science fiction, comic books, movies, horror, animation, professional wrestling, video games, and George freaking Lucas.
It's a warts and all look at popular geek culture, where we tip sacred cows and use profanity while arguing about children's entertainment.
Think of it as the McLaughlin Group for nerds.
Find us online at RadioVersusTheMartians.com.
If you are a humanist, atheist, or freethinker from Everett, Washington to the Canadian border, Humanists of North Puget Sound welcomes you. Your freethought neighbors to the north have been promoting secular ideas for over 20 years. They're humanists with a rational worldview informed by science, inspired by art, and motivated by compassion. Join up for monthly conversation, camaraderie, and activism. Humanists of North Puget Sound. Visit humanistsnps.org.
Ask an Atheist may have gone on the road, but we're not making big bucks.
We still need to keep the lights on, and 95% of our costs are for airtime alone.
That's why we need your contributions.
If you've got something to advertise, consider Ask an Atheist in your ad budget.
Our listener Peggy said it best. Step up and contribute to keep secular voices on the air. For $5, you could have a latte or a moment of science.
Take on Peggy's challenge and contribute today.
For details, go to AskAnAtheist.tv or contribute directly via PayPal to PayPal@AskAnAtheist.tv.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. and prepare yourselves for the best email we have ever received. This comes to us from Kamal from Canada, and they write, I am planning for some time to build a robot that is able to detect and rescue a victim at home, especially old people or a lonely woman, save life human beings from any intruder's attack. How can you help? I was sick to see the number of attack in the U.S. of women and old people. I want to do something about it. Thank you.
See, I really don't know what to make of this email, but I will say it's the greatest email that any radio program has ever received, ever.
Right. Honestly, you know, a bodyguard robot that saves people strikes me as a great idea. I mean, just everything aside, okay, yeah.
Despite the fact this is probably something along the line of a Nigerian prince who needs to get money out of his country. This is a sort of scam that feels like it was built specifically for me,
mm-hmm.
because I love everything about this email, and if this was for real, I would give him a couple bucks on Kickstarter to build his bodyguard robot to protect old people.
Yeah.
Bobbyguard.
Tell you right now, if he does a Kickstarter, I'll just throw in a season's worth of ads. I'll say that. I'll make that promise right now. Put together a Kickstarter, and you will get advertising on Ask an Atheist. I will throw in.
Now, I want to go on the record right away and say that I am strongly pro-Guardian robot.
Yeah.
And that particularly I love that it's Bobbyguard because it makes me think that maybe this robot dispenses bubble tea.
Oh. Wow, that just makes a great idea even greater. Yeah.
It's like a Slurpee with gummy bears in it. It's awesome.
Really a Slurpee with gummy bears. It sounds like quickly turn into just frozen gravel. Cuz I mean, gummy bears get really hard when they're cold.
Well, yeah, but the little boba things in bubble tea, they tend to stay sort of chewy.
That's true. That's true. I don't know where that went. Anyway, so, I mean, in the pre-show, you were saying that you and Paul from Mike and Paul Save the Universe, you guys had like a huge backstory that you guys came up with.
I was thrilled when this email came through, and my good friend from Brisbane, Australia, Paul Rue, was online. And I'm like, hey, Paul, you got to look at this. This is the greatest thing ever. And Paul, being, of course, a friend, a big fan of sci-fi adventure fiction and pulp.
Yeah.
Ate it up, and we actually came up with a fake backstory for this guy.
I would like to hear this backstory.
Well, Paul said that in a perfect world, this guy would be like an escaped Soviet Cold Era robotics expert.
Okay.
Who probably fled the Soviet Union. He probably fled sometime during the mid-80s. And now he wants to do something good with his skills. And we came up with the idea of this being called like the People's Glorious Defender of the Elderly, and that it would actually operate like a Russian tea doll, where it would open up and then the old person would crawl inside of the robot's torso, a bit like a safe room.
Oh, wow.
And also the robot would have a metal version of a handlebar mustache, and its hair would be parted in the middle in the form of sort of a turn of the century bare knuckle boxer.
I like it. Is this robot going to have sort of like a broad and bow-legged stance and maybe some like extra long shorts?
Yeah, it's sort of like a steampunk glitter boy from Riffs.
Well, kind of like that. He'd be sort of, a thin waist going up into a large torso, but he'd have a single wheel on the bottom he'd roll around on, sort of like Rosie from the Jetsons.
Okay. Or like that duck robot from...
Gizmoduck. I love Gizmoduck. Yeah. So, yeah.
Who doesn't?
I barely Sam remember doesn't. Them. Sorry.
The Beagle Boys.
The Beagle Boys. Fair point.
There's everything about this email that I absolutely love is that there's no sense of cynicism. There's a certain creative spark in the person who did this.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is a scam. It probably is, but it's the best scam because the person who did this clearly thinks it's funny.
If it's a scam, I'm buying in. Like I said, if it's a scam, I'm buying into it. Put together a Kickstarter, put together something, and I will advertise it on this show because why not? If I can't advertise robots that save old people, why am I even on the air? I mean, really.
The best way to get through the crusty, cynical exterior into my squishy, warm 6-year-old self who loves this sort of stuff is to take the sci-fi robot route. That if they were robot dinosaurs, it would probably get in there a little bit faster. But the fact that I want to have a robot bodyguard that's probably on duty at a retirement home that's checking your identification to make sure you're supposed to be there and you're not there to rob old people, that would be pretty amazing.
I might suggest that if you're building a robot whose job it is to help elderly people, maybe not having it look like a terrible lizard predator may not be a good idea. It's like, oh, the robot's here to help me.
Yeah.
Oh, come on, Bobisaurus 2000. That's like the cutest name ever.
Yeah, make it true. Look like the Shrike from the Hyperion novels. It's just made of blades and death. No, it would be friendly, and I'd probably make it sound like Burgess Meredith.
Okay, yeah, I could go with that. That's not bad. Yeah,
I need to see your identification.
Go for the kidneys. This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. If you have some ideas about robots, if you just want to talk about robots, we could talk about robots till the end of the show. Honestly, with us, with just robots, Bobigar robots helping people. There is nothing awesome about this, or there's nothing that is not awesome about this email. Well, we also have to thank some folks. I'd like to thank John from Puyallup and Jeffrey from Everett, who asks, TK421, why aren't you at your post? And as you might guess, the amount of money we received has something to do with that line as well.
Yes.
Again, Peggy's challenge helps us keep the lights on. And so every dollar you give us goes directly towards producing the show. You can go to askanatheist.tv and click on the yellow button on the right-hand side, and it'll take you right to our PayPal page. So, Time Magazine, Person of the Year, that was announced. And it was Pope Francis again, Pope Frank.
Yeah.
I imagine you might have something to say about that.
Well, it seems kind of underwhelming.
Yeah.
And I know I used this analogy before, but this really feels like President Obama winning the Nobel Peace Prize in like the first days of his office before he's done anything.
Yeah.
It's really an award for, hey, congratulations, you're not Cardinal Ratzinger.
Or it might be one of those situations, like, I think part of the reason they gave Obama the award was because, you know, it was after a lot of the weird imperialistic, you know, it got weird, and there was like, maybe, and the European political community was like, America's going nuts, and they're like, here's an award. See, if we give you this award, maybe you'll be nice for a while.
Yeah, but that's the same thing Christopher Hitchens said when Obama won that award, which is it's like giving a director an Oscar ahead of time, hoping that it'll convince them to make a great film.
Yeah, exactly.
It just doesn't work out that way. And again, give it to somebody after they've earned it. And again, it really gets to the fact that there's probably so much more deserving people out there. And the Person of the Year award is not like a greatest person in the world award.
No, I mean, famously, as we were talking about, Hitler was man of the year in like 1937 or something like
that. And really what it's about is this is a person who is a newsmaker, and really when you look at Pope Francis, he hasn't done much of anything.
Right.
That he's changed the tenor of the Catholic Church, but he hasn't changed the substance of the Catholic Church. That when he says things that people who are progressive go gaga over...
Mm-hmm.
Usually it's something that has a lot of fun little escape clauses in it.
Right.
Like he says, oh yeah, gay people are not all inherently bad, considering that they may come to Christ and blah, 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 blah. And it's really what he's saying is, you know, if they stop being gay...
Yeah, then gay people aren't bad, provided they're not gay.
He doesn't say atheists can go to heaven. He doesn't say gay people can go to heaven. There's phrases in those sentences when you actually read them that say, provided, dot, dot, dot. Oh, hey, there's an asterisk here. Oh, provided they stop becoming this thing.
Well, I do have something of a correction from last week. I was actually talking about the Pope last week, and Tracy, our radio tech, actually said, after I said they haven't done anything, if the Pope really wants to turn over a new leaf, start turning over the pedophile priests. And she actually came out after the show and said, you know, he's been talking about that. And that's exactly it. So as a correction, he has said something about that. But my response to that was, every pope has said something about it. It only becomes worthwhile and noteworthy and a change from the old when something is actually done.
Yes.
If this pope hands over these priests to the authorities for incarceration or for trial, depending on, then I will stand up and say that this pope has done something. This is a change for the better. This is an improvement. Thank you. Thank you, the Vatican. But that something actually has to be done.
Yes.
It needs to be more than words.
Well, that's the thing, is that he's made a statement saying he's going to form some panel of the same people who elected him and of the same people who were put into place by his predecessor.
Right.
And SNAP, which is an organization which investigates and fights for the rights of people who have been abused by priests, has said that this is nothing but this is basically vaudeville. They're doing a show.
Right.
And there's no real action that they expect to really come out of this. And I don't see any action coming out of it. And this is the thing with the Pope. Nothing has changed about the Pope's position from the previous Pope on the ordination of women.
Right.
On the rights of gay people.
Right.
On the right... on the same stuff he says about atheists. We are going to go to hell in their mind. Occasionally, he's basically, it's like a doctor who's a pediatrician. Mm-hmm. They're not going to give the child the shot themselves. They say something vague so they can be friendly, and then they pass it over to a nurse. In this case, some archbishop or cardinal.
Well, that's...
Go, well, you know, what the Pope really meant to say was, horrible thing.
Yeah.
And the Pope, who has the bully pulpit and a microphone, whenever he wants it, never corrects these people.
Yeah, he says a bunch of nice things, and then some person in of a lower seat in the Holy See comes out and says, no, everything he said is wrong. And at that point, that would be the opportunity for the Pope to come out and say, no, actually, this is exactly what I meant.
Yeah.
That never happens.
There's a way too charitable reading, I think, that people have for this Pope of everything that he says. And in a lot of the stuff that he says, including a statement that he made a couple of months ago about women in the workforce, saying something to the degree of women who enter the workforce and do this stuff can be robbed of their femininity.
Okay.
I mean, that's the same kind of, you know, patriarchal garbage that we expect from the Catholic Church. But because this guy doesn't have a monster face and he looks like your grandpa, we're more likely to, you know, just go, oh, yeah, blah, 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 blah. Well, he's not perfect. You know, it's a Catholic Church. All these excuses. If this guy, saying the things he says about abortion, or when gay marriage came to Argentina, he said this is out to destroy the family and this is the will of the Prince of Lies.
Yeah.
If a U.S. senator dropped the Prince of Lies line, he would be the new Rick Santorum.
Mm-hmm.
We wouldn't make excuses for, oh, well, you know, he's in the Catholic Church. We're not going to go, oh, well, you know, he's in the Republican Party. He has to say that. No, this individual politician who says this sort of thing is a bad dude, and I don't want to vote for him. The same thing with this Pope is suddenly it's like, well, he said things, you know, well, you know, he was sitting on his throne in his private country in his private palace, and he said that rich people are bad and that they're stealing from poor people if they don't give all their stuff away. And I'm like, I don't see you moving on that front.
Yeah.
It's so much stuff that everyone who wants to see good things about him doesn't see the hypocrisy, doesn't see the escape clauses. And the question of him just being a man or person of the year, he hasn't done anything really notable
enough. It seems like there could be there's a bunch of other people this year, good and bad.
Yeah, Malala Yousafzai was a possible contender for this sort of thing.
Yeah.
If we're going to take the idea of somebody just being notable, the president of Syria.
Yeah.
I mean, if we're going to follow the route of, hey, bad guys too.
Kim Jong-un.
I mean, he just killed his own uncle.
Yeah.
For apparently not clapping hard enough at a function. I mean, if we're going to go from somebody who just makes news, I mean, Kanye West has done the same amount of things that this Pope has done.
Yeah.
In terms of, he says things that are provocative and they get covered in the media. That itself is not an accomplishment. Saying is not doing. Only doing is doing.
Well, I want to be fair to the Pope. Like you said, he doesn't have a monster face. He in no way physically resembles Emperor Palpatine from the Star Wars franchises, as his predecessor did. But I will say that he doesn't wear $5,000 red Italian shoes.
Yeah.
So, a man of the year, right? I mean, that's
man, if I could, yeah, he's getting man of the year for not being a jerk. I should get a Nobel Prize for not smoking crack.
Yeah, but also not living in the expensive palace, not sitting on the fancy throne, still sitting on the less
then
fancy
throne.
Then
sell it.
Right.
He's not selling it, though.
Yeah.
And there is no movement for him to sell it. He's just like, well, I'm not going to bling it around. I'm just going to hide it in the back closet. It's in storage.
All right, so we do need to take a step back. We're not expected to like the Pope. We're atheists, and we are and the Pope's job is basically, part of his job, let's be honest, is to tell people that we're going to hell. So, I mean, it's in their catechism, it's part of their, it's a procedure in their operating system. It's just, it's what they have to do. So, with that in mind, why should people who are not atheists listen to us when we have criticisms of the Pope?
Well, the question is, it's not about who says anything. And I don't want to do arguments from authority. Well, this important thing, person, like say the Pope, said this, therefore it's wise. The same is true of us. And I want to be treated the exact same way. The things that we say should be treated on their own merit and not based on who said it. And if I say something about the Pope that's not true, it doesn't become true because I'm this great and powerful radio personality.
Right.
It's just true or false based on the facts that support it.
Yeah.
And I guess the question is, be skeptical. If I say something, look it up. Did the Pope actually say that the father of lies was behind Argentinian same-sex marriage? Google it.
Yeah. Does he really not wear red shoes? Check out the pictures.
Things like that, the fact that he doesn't have extravagant wealth and act like he's some sort of hip-hop superstar,
right?
That doesn't make him a good person. It, you know, him giving all that stuff away and saying, you know what? maybe we should build world-class hospitals all over the world that give away free healthcare to the very poorest people. But he doesn't do that. And when the people who continue to act in his church's name, fighting, spending millions of dollars fighting same-sex marriage, fighting contraception, you know, there's no one stopping him from getting in front of a microphone and saying, hey, you ought to knock that off.
Yeah.
You know why he doesn't? Because he doesn't care and he agrees with those people.
Right.
But again, it's good cop, bad cop. He lets them do all the bad. They're the ones that are going to give the child the injection. I'm there to show up the lollipop.
And this is part of it for me is that a lot of people who are, you know, politically liberal or open, you know, they're pro-choice and they like the idea of women in the workplace and they like the idea of gender equality and they like all these things say, oh, this Pope is great. He's way better than last guy, except he's against all of those things.
Yeah. The marketing is better. The product is the same.
Exactly. And that's what I go... That's why we need to look at... be skeptical and look at the evidence. And the evidence is it's a lot of talking and not a lot of doing. And honestly, there is nothing personally... Again, I have to make the distinction between the Vatican and between Catholics. To me, these are two separate populations. They are related because one feels it has the authority to tell the other what to do. I get that. But there's a difference between people who go attend Mass on Sundays and the people who live in their own private country in an enclave of Italy who decide that whenever one of their own victimizes small children, the best thing they can do is give them a vacation and a bonus.
Yeah.
And when that changes, then I'll have cause to say that the right things are being done and that there's real positive change and real reform in the Catholic Church. But until that time, I can't. This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. When we come back, we're going to do some more emails and talk about some more fun news stories.
Billy, I'm a certified ghost expert.
Wow, that's so credible.
Billy, your great-great-grandmother says she loves you and to give me your lunch money.
Aw, anything for family. Here you go.
Wait, Billy. Extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. Come to Camp Quest Northwest, where you'll learn critical thinking and science in a fun-filled week-long nature camp.
No!
Camp Quest Northwest can be found at campquestnorthwest.org. Donations and volunteers accepted. The devil is not real.
I know. Poof! Out of the briny depths of the internet comes a comic book podcast so powerful they cannot be contained by a single continent. Mike and Paul, save the universe!
I'm Mike Gillis.
And I'm Paul Root.
If you're an unsatisfied comics fan, we want to help you find better comics.
And if you've never picked up a comic before in your life, we want to help you find what could be your new favorite thing.
On Mike and Paul Save the Universe, we love the bejesus out of comics, and so should you.
Find us online at mikeandpaul.com.
Secular humanism is a non-theistic view of the universe built on a foundation of reason, science, and democracy. Humanists support intellectual freedom and critical thinking, and we hold that human beings are autonomous centers of moral development. The Humanists of Washington is the oldest humanist organization in the state and offers a community of freethinkers who educate the public and celebrate life. For information on how you can be a part of the humanist activities in the Puget Sound area, become a member of the Humanists of Washington today. Visit humanistsofwashington.org.
Do you have an idea for a website but don't know how to get started? Are you tired of expensive hosting draining your budget dry? Archway Hosting can help. Archway's fully functional hosting service starts at $20 per year and includes hosting, databases, email, and much more. Have an idea for a website or application and don't know where to begin? Check out Archway. They also do web design and development. To get your online presence off to a great start, check out archwayhosting.com. That's ARCHWAY hosting.com.
Looking to buy or sell a home or other property in Edmonton, Alberta, or surrounding areas? Demand a professional and call Don Summers of Professional Realty Group at 780-237-4718 or visit dndrealty.ca and discover how he works with you to achieve your goals, save you time, and protect your investment. Don Summers of Professional Realty Group. It's time you hired a professional.
If you enjoy the programming we create on Ask an Atheist, please make a contribution with us. Your sponsorship keeps our show on the air and improves the quality of our broadcasts. Don't make us beg. Please go to askanatheist.tv and contribute today.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. And in the break, we were told we got an email from Dennis from Tacoma, who we get regularly get emails from, usually criticizing something that we've done.
And the frisbee that went over his fence. Is,
right, yeah.
He's keeping it.
Oh, come on.
Get off my lawn!
Oh, please, give me an email by him that isn't characterized that way.
He said some pretty... I've had a very short but very nice conversations with him now and again. This is not one of them. And the subject of this email is sick with many exclamation points. And he writes, "You guys are sick, representatives of comic book drug heads, but not responsible representatives of humanists."
Where's the drug heads thing come from?
I made that crack joke.
Well, I'm glad you didn't ask where the comic book thing came from.
Well, I know where the comic book
I think thing we know where the from. Comic book thing comes from.
But I don't see where the drug head thing comes from. I'm a teetotaler. I don't even drink. I don't smoke.
And I hate comic books.
And I did say I should get a Nobel Prize for not smoking crack.
Yeah. I don't really know where this comes from.
That would suggest that I don't smoke crack.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that whole drug user thing, drug user, it's kind of that weird Rush Limbaugh standby. It's like communist. It just, you throw it in an insult, it doesn't have to mean anything.
I suppose.
I don't know. Whatever.
I mean, I've heard people describe us as sort of stoner vision a couple times, I suppose. But
I guess, let's just call this my come at me bro moment. Dennis, you know, why don't you just call into the show?
Yeah.
If you have something to say to us, but you fear the actual real-time response, just do it. Just call in.
253-584-1480. And so what I really want to talk about is we are not responsible representatives of humanism. And I don't know if you guys describe yourselves as humanists.
I do.
But okay. Yeah. But I am definitely, you know, I am the president of Humanists of Washington.
Not just a client,
which means you know, I guess in some way I do represent humanism, and maybe I am not the best representative of humanism, but here's the thing, is I really want to change humanism. I think humanism has gotten too stultified. I think humanism has too many representations with old white people. I hear that again and again when I'm president, you know, I do the things as president of Humanists of Washington. There was that recent article in the Village Voice about Lawrence Krauss, and they, you know, suggesting that the reason he was such as from their description a jerk was because of his choice of wardrobe and the fact that he's a smug humanist.
The other thing that I find ridiculous about this, and again the idea of you're so mean, so arrogant, is that if you took the exact same tone that say Richard Dawkins or any prominent atheist used,
right,
and it would be so standard, and you put it into politics, it would fall into the noise, because you don't call somebody smug because they say this other idea that I disagree with is bad, and here are all the ways that it's stupid, and here are all the silly things that the people that represent that ideology do, but you're talking about politics and not religion. It's nobody acts as if what the things that Rachel Maddow or Pat Buchanan or any of those people say is offensive unless they cross a certain line.
Right.
But with us, the very act of having any criticism in this little circle is somehow uncouth and terrible and arrogant
and rude. But I really hate this idea, and this isn't just from Dennis. So I'm not just yelling at Dennis here. I'm actually you know, I had a conversation very much like this with Cheryl, with a lot of people here in Tacoma, with a lot of people at Post Show. The idea that because I'm a representative of humanism, I have to act like a reject bit character from Star Trek.
Yeah.
It drives me nuts.
It
absolutely drives me nuts. Here's the thing, is I'm a humanist. The vision of humanism I want to show you is that of real people. I have my doubts about people. I have my moments of misanthropy. I have a dark sense of humor as a coping mechanism. I have bodily functions. You know, I have to shave. I have to go to the bathroom. I occasionally eat unhealthy things.
Occasionally.
But I am a human being, and this is part of the human experience, and to be honest with you, I love all of these things, and I love not liking some of these things. I want to live I really think there's something to being a person, and I really want to and I really want to show that there are good sides, and there are bad sides, but I think on the whole, things are going to work out, and that's where my humanism comes in.
Yeah, I can say as somebody who's a consumer of a lot of humanist and atheist and skeptical stuff is that there is this overwhelming, I guess you could say, flavor or tenor that many of the older activists in the atheist and humanist movements hope to typify that I really don't find attractive at all.
Yeah.
The idea that everything has to feel like a lecture or a TED Talk, and that everything feels like some sort of sedate, academic. It's just not something that appeals to me at all.
Right.
And I think that if you want to appeal to people, one, show that we're not all these gurus and stuff, because a lot of the attitudes about us being arrogant and stuff, I don't think that helps, you know, dissuade that. I think what helps dissuade that is us being human.
Right.
That what makes us relatable is that, oh, hey, these people care about these things too, and that they don't just sit on a mountaintop and argue about Jesus all day. They actually have hobbies. They actually have flaws. I don't want to hang around somebody who only sounds like a TED Talk all the time.
I'm sorry about that.
I'm just going to go.
Well, we can't all be paragons of morality and intellect 100% of the time.
Yeah,
all the time. And I go home and talk silly to my goldfish. And yeah, I don't necessarily want my listening audience, you know, seeing me when I'm talking to my fish about what a pretty fish he is. But that's part of the human experience. I mean, like yeah. you're saying, and I don't necessarily want my listening audience to see me when I've had a few too many beers and I'm watching football because I'm drunk enough to watch football in my basement. You know, like that's. but that's part of being a human being. I mean, we all have our flaws and our weird little behaviors,
yeah.
and our little idiosyncrasies, and you know, I think being open about it is part of valuing all of us with our differences.
You know, early on in the days of Ask an Atheist, I said I wanted to show the atheist movement and humanism sort of warts and all. And so to me is, you know, I want you to understand about me is that, you know, I like the TED Talk stuff. I like the lectures, and I like learning things, and I'm, you know, I'm addicted to learning in many ways. But like back in October when we did the CFI thing, what was our major contribution to the event? We had an offsite event at Dorky's where he said, come by, play video games, and drink beer with us. Is we wanted to provide an alternative to that. Is I think part of the humanist experience is to be able, and you know, I want to reboot humanism. I really want to change how people view humanism. That's sort of my quest right now. And I want to show people that, yeah, we do these lectures, we do these TED Talks, we like this stuff, it's really amazing, but there's this huge pile of stuff that we all do on the, you know, that when we're not at a TED Talk, and this is the whole, you know, the being a humanist is the totality of this experience. It's, again, not being a reject character from Star Trek.
Yeah, I'm not interested in that. And to be honest, there's a tenor to certain things that I just like, you know, I can listen to a different podcast. That's going to be a lot more fun to me than having somebody in a sedate tone tell me things I already believe.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I'd much rather talk about things that, you know, and again, like you said, the idea of being a coping mechanism.
Yeah.
Humor is a coping mechanism to me, too. I mock things because, frankly, the alternative is just getting on the air and just crying for an hour.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, does anyone really want to listen to that? Oh, it's so sad that they're doing... Blah, blah, blah. No. You know, stupid people are at one point scary, mm-hmm. but they're also a source of enjoyment. That
yeah.
I laugh at it because the alternative is just being angry all the time.
Like at the solstice dinner last night, we had a white elephant, but there was actually a gift specifically set aside for me. I've got it with me. Somebody gave me... and I'll be talking, I might actually end up doing a show about this. Somebody gave me an MP3 player that one of their kids got that was pre-stocked with, like, horrible Christian propaganda. Like, not like, horrible, like, it's propaganda that's horrible, like, especially horrible. It's
good weird. Horrible?
I hope so. I haven't listened to it yet, but I just, it's an interesting concept, and I'm looking forward to sort of going through it. And yeah, you know, why do I have such an interest in propaganda? You know, why do I have this collection? Why do I pay attention to what happens in North Korea? Because frankly, on some level, this stuff scares me. This stuff convinces people, and that's frightening. And I want to understand it, and I want to know it, so, and I want to be able to counter it. And I'm not going to be able to do that by crying and running away.
Yeah,
so I become an aficionado of it.
I think on a certain level, though, we are scary to certain people, too. And that a lot of it is that really stupid things can only exist in an environment that doesn't have predators.
Yeah.
And bad ideas is a stupid thing.
Yeah.
That somebody can say really dumb things to a child and tell them that this country was founded as a theocracy, and they can tell them that the world is only 6,000 years old, and they can tell them a number of really stupid things about magic and all this garbage. But that stuff, has a hard time existing in a world where there's an open debate, there's open information, they can actually look at the science, that I think what's scary to them is that we're not treating bad ideas with respect.
Yeah.
And we say that, no, respect as far as ideas goes is a meritocracy, that you actually have to earn it. You can't just get it because you believe it really, really hard and that your ancestors believed it.
See, for me, I take an interest in sort of the bad ideas, and I like to read up on them and research them and joke about them because they're interesting. And actually, I think one of my professors said it better than I could ever say when I was asking, you know, all these classic literature stories, they're just so horrifyingly, you know, that the hero suffers so much. And he says, well, the hero has to suffer because it makes a good story. Mayonnaise on white bread sandwich is goodness, but evil is spicy chicken wings. And that stuck with me, you know. It's watching the strange and the weird and the horrifying things that make it interesting. I mean, otherwise, yeah, Nobody would go and see horror movies. You know, the Saw franchise would never have even existed.
But I think that's really what it comes down to, is that what are human beings? We're consumers of stories.
Right.
And stories are what is exciting to us. It's not a question of, you know, what we're doing is we're selling a question of what's true. Mm. And really what preachers and stuff are doing are selling a story that's exciting.
Here's the thing that I've been running into specifically a lot these days, is that if your idea, if your belief, be it atheism, humanism, Christianity, Islam, you know, believes in equal rights, all this stuff that I really strongly believe in, if it can brook no satire, if it can brook no humor, it is not strong. And that's just the end of it, is humor, our ability to look at our own, ourselves and our ideas with some level of humor and some level of satire, I think is a test of our inner strength. And that's something that's really important to me. And I think I wish more people would follow. And we've got one more email that we've really wanted to do. This comes to us from Elizabeth from Seattle. And she writes, my department at work is participating in the Adopt a Family program. We are asked to donate money that goes to the Salvation Army to a needy family. My company is normally very good at selecting secular charities at the corporate level. The Salvation Army may be helping people, but this is an evangelical organization at the core. I think it sends a bad message to LGBT employees, given the Army's history of overt discrimination towards gay people. Also, I don't give money to religious groups. I understand that it is difficult to select a charity that everyone feels okay with, but I don't think that religious privilege belongs in the workplace. Are we sending a bad message to our non-Christian employees? If this was a Muslim charity, I don't think the reception would be the same. What do you guys think I should do?
I think you should go to HR. I think this is a very simple thing. It's a religious charity, and
yeah,
I'm sure that HR's job is not really to protect employees, but also to protect the company from controversy and lawsuits and things like that, and they don't want controversy. And an association with the Salvation Army is an invitation to controversy. Maybe going at it from the religious angle is not the best way to do it. Come at it from the fact that this is an anti-gay organization.
Yeah.
And that it's not a charity, it's a church. And say, I don't want our company associating with an anti-gay church that does discrimination in this, and this way, and come to them with the homework already done. Come to them with examples of them saying things that are extremely anti-gay. And I know at one point a leader of the Salvation Army said at one point that there was a question about whether gay people deserve the death penalty.
Yeah.
And the leader didn't try to brush it off and say, that's not what we believe. He says, well, that's what the scripture says. And every time they asked for clarification, he would just repeat, that's what the scripture says. And I think that's the sort of thing you could bring to them, because no company nowadays is going to want to be associated with something like that, that they're like, oh, anti-gay, we don't want to touch this. Just for the sake of avoiding controversy, just for the sake of avoiding bad PR.
Yeah.
I agree. I mean, I think that right here it says, are we sending a bad message to our non-Christian employees? Yes.
Yes.
Period. Yes. Yes, you are.
Yeah.
And on top of that, you're sending a bad message to any LGBTQIA employees as well.
Right.
And those who sympathize, which I would say that pretty well encompasses humanists of various religious stripes.
And one of the things about that whole our homosexuals deserving of death thing in the Salvation Army is I was really surprised at how Snopes pulled their punches. Like, you link Snopes on Facebook all the time, and
yeah,
we were talking about this one, and somebody said, well, look at Snopes and look what Snopes says. And so I read it. Snopes is wrong. They say, no, it's mixed. It's not. They don't really say that.
Right.
No, they do say that. They just don't want to come out and say it directly because, you know, because it would be bad and they would get less money. So they don't want to say it, but they say, well, that's what our Bible says, and we strongly believe in the Bible, so we believe that homosexuals are deserving of death.
And that slavery is okay.
And that's, and yeah.
And women are inferior and plenty of other things, right?
I am speaking of somebody who has worked with the Salvation Army once upon a time. They weren't always as bad as they are these days, but they are still an evangelical organization, and they, and especially these days, because of the weird, you know, totalitarian fundamentalist stint that the thread that's going through America right now, it's just horrible. And yeah, they want, this is something I would go to HR for, and I generally take a sort of laid back approach to stuff like that. It's charity, whatever. It's hard to pick a charity, but no, this is an organization that is, that I would characterize as a hate group. Do you really want to be giving money to a hate group?
I wouldn't be surprised if the Southern Poverty Law Center hasn't already used that name. I don't know if they have.
Yeah.
But I think it's entirely plausible, because you look at the stuff that they've already labeled, like the Family Research Council as a hate group.
Yeah.
And there's nothing that the Family Research Council says that these guys don't agree with.
Yeah, I mean, I get that they're going to say that we are going to burn in hell forever because they're Christians. That's part of their deal. But to say that homosexuals or to not deny that they believe that homosexuals are deserving of death, that's a whole nother level as far as I'm concerned.
They're trying to pass the buck. They think that the easy way to say it is, well, that's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible says.
Yeah.
As if that's a passing the buck thing. The question is, do you agree with it?
Right.
You agree with that statement? Just don't try to say, well, I didn't say it, God said it, which is a pretty standard response.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but do you agree? Because you clearly seem to think that's okay. You don't get to have the controversial stance and then have no moral responsibility for agreeing with it.
And if you look at the way that the Salvation Army kind of exploits Christmas with the Santa suits and the bells and sometimes getting, you know, bands together and playing Christmas carols.
Yeah.
I'm actually going to have to agree with the Orthodox Church of Romania again and say that Christmas carols should not be used to spread hatred, period. I'm done commenting on Salvation Army.
That's a fantastic callback right there. Thank you. No, and that's what this is I'm okay with disagreement over religion. You know, like I said, I would really like religious things to be just, you know, bar talk, what we talk around drinks. But when we start saying that people are deserving of death or that abusing children is okay, then this stops being bar talk and this becomes something a lot more dangerous and a lot more destructive.
Yeah, it's not just the bar talk. It's the law in a lot of places.
Exactly.
And for a lot of people, they want it to be the law.
Yeah, and that's all the time we've got for today. This is Ask an Atheist. You can give us a voicemail at 206-420-0997. You can go to our website at askanatheist.tv, or you can email us at questions@askanatheist.tv. My name is Sam. With me today was Mike and Dan. Post show is at Doyle's in an hour. See you guys next week.
Clay Radio.